Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call of Caplin Point Laboratories, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks a lot, Yashasvi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for dialing in. I am Prashant Nair, healthcare analyst from Ambit Capital. I would like to thank the Caplin Point management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management team, today we have with us Mr. C.C. Paarthipan, Chairman, Mr. Vivek Paarthipan, Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, Managing Director, Mr. D. Muralidharan, CFO, and Mr. M. Sathyanarayanan, Deputy CFO. I will now hand over the call to Vivek for his opening remarks, post which we can go to Q&A. Over to you, Vivek.
Thank you, Prashant. Hello and good evening to everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss Q4 and FY23 results. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures are available on the investor section of our website as well as on stock exchanges. Please note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with audio of the same will be made available on the company's website as well as the exchanges. Also, do note that the audio of this conference call is the copyright material of Caplin Point and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. Now, I would like to hand over the floor to our chairman for his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good evening to you all. Welcome to our investors' call. First, the two most important salient features of our company, despite our strong top-line and bottom-line growth supported by benchmark cash flows, are: one, the return on capital employed stands at 26.19%. Two, the cash and cash equivalents has increased from 17 crore to 770 crore in the last 10 years. This is despite investing 650 crore in CapEx during the same period. We are aware that living comfortable in the present business without understanding our todays is a friend or foe is not a sustainable solution. However, the following will make you understand that we are building our tomorrows today. One, our additional line of soft gels would produce a business of 80 crore-90 crore from LATAM markets for the current year. Two, the brand marketing that we started in Central America, that is LATAM, would also fetch us a revenue of 30 crore-40 crore. Three, the introduction of generic business in West Africa might also result in an additional revenue of 10 crore. You are aware that we are currently doing only brand marketing in this part of the world. Four, our new initiatives in CIS and Southeast Asia would also fetch us a business of 20 crore-25 crore for the current financial year. Five, Caplin Steriles would generate an additional income of 90 crore-100 crore for the current year. Six, Caplin's liquid assets are in excess of 1,450 crore, whereas the payables are only 160 crore. Now, accruals to cash balance has been 300 crore each year in the last 2 years, and this will definitely continue for the future also. Further, you are aware that the four important factors that contributes to sustainability and scalability of companies are: A, men; B, materials; C, missionaries; D, markets. Now, the men and women. Employable talents comes at a cost. We at Caplin not only offer good salaries but also performance bonus, ESOP, and engage in employee experiences. Recently, we selected around 100 youngsters from various places and offer them good food and accommodation free of cost, and also train them for the necessary skill set for the new normal. Materials. We have already developed 65 APIs in our R&Ds in the last 3 years that consists of both general category and oncology. The API facility that we bought in Vizag will go on stream in the current year itself. This will help us in reducing the cost of goods and also consistency in supply over a period of time. Machineries. Currently, all of our new expansions in the existing and new facilities consist of imported machineries from Germany and Italy. These machineries are capable of increasing our productivity without any hazards in future. For example, the capacity of our Bosch line from our phase 2 in Kaplan Steriles is higher than the combined capacities of 2 of our machines from phase 1. Markets. Since the generic business is based on the concept of supply and demand for profitability, it's not the market that matters, but the models. You are also aware that 85% of our business with benchmarking cash flows and profits comes from 6 smaller geographies of LATAM due to the business model differentiation. However, we are very keen to introduce the same model of end-to-end in the bigger geographies too in the next 2 to 3 years. We will also cater to the bottom of the pyramid, which is what brought us to where we are today. Once we complete the expansions of our oncology, OSD and API projects, and also the product registration in the next 2 to 3 years, we are sure of being one among the few best companies of our size. Finally, we sincerely believe that every phase of our business offers something valuable to all our stakeholders. We also understand that it depends on us whether we analyze the positive trends or just turn the pages. It is for you to decide. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. So I would like to give a brief about our regulated market business, specifically the U.S. We are, of course, very happy with the progress Kaplan Steriles has made in the last financial year, where we have grown nearly 70% and also achieved the full break-even with a small profit as well. Now, this is more, we need to take into also account that this includes all of the expenses that we incur in the way of ANDA filing, the R&D costs, the regulated, the regulatory costs, etc., which I believe amounted to close to 20 crores, which is a direct hit. And now, specifically, most companies, I believe, capitalize these expenses, whereas we charge them off as expenses. So achieving the break even despite a large regulatory and filing fees is something that we can all be appreciative of. The mix at this point is still quite healthy, we feel. The mix is around 70% product sales and 30% milestone and profit share. In the last quarter, we've received 3 approvals in quick succession. One of these products has just been launched, and then 2 more are being launched in the coming few months. As we've explained many times in the past, our all recent deals have been non-exclusive. And this brings me to the next point where we are glad to inform you that we have just launched our first 4 co-labeled markets in the product, co-Kaplan labeled markets in the product. This we will start to see some sales of this in the coming few quarters. We have 8 products under review with the FDA. We feel it can be approved within the coming 3 to 4 quarters. And there is also another 13 products under stability right now, which includes 4 complex products as well, including ophthalmics, bags, and vials. All of these together, we are targeting a revenue of an additional 50% growth in the coming year, amounting to close to 300 crores. We should also, it will not be out of place here to mention that we are sitting on an order book of close to 230, 240 crore as we speak. So the key is to make sure that we execute the production with a high degree of compliance, like what we have always maintained. The focus right now is to complete the validations of our new line, especially the ones that Chairman explained, which is a high-speed and highly compliant line that we bought from Bosch. Now, we feel that this is going to significantly reduce our turnaround time. It will significantly increase our productivity as well. We are hopeful that this should go on stream by October of this year, and that will free up quite a bit of capacity for us to continue doing our R&D work and exhibit batches work and stuff, which is the last thing that we need to do before filing for filing the ANDAs. We have also made some progress with regards to our front end in the US, but I'll be able to give you more information on this in the next 3 to 4 months, because quite a lot of this is a work in progress as we speak. We also have some approvals that have come through in Canada and Australia. These are products that are the same for which we have received ANDA approvals in the US. At this point, the revenue potential from these are quite small, so we're not really taking into consideration these approvals as anything significantly materialistic. In terms of market share, for a majority of the products that we have live in the market, we have increased our market share. This is despite many of our peers, you know, complaining that there is significant price erosion and market share erosion, etc. We continue to maintain a lot of focus on our products, and we make sure that we are increasing our market share as much as possible without, you know, without reducing the prices in any way. But of course, the most important thing for us is to make sure that our business model is differentiated, because that is the one that is going to be impactful over the long run, and that is what is going to make it even more sustainable. This should happen once we start making more regular visits to the US, which will start in the coming couple of months onwards. In addition to this, once we complete our line 6, which is a pre-filled syringe line, and also line 7, which is our lyophilized products line, it will give us a complete portfolio of products, and also by which time we will have quite a lot of visibility on our labeled products and our front end in the US as well, along with a, you know, good business model differentiation that we have showed in the past with Latin American markets. We feel that this could be a good potential combination for everyone. That's it from our side. I hand over to our CFO for a brief description on the numbers that we've had in the last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vek. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Muralidharan. I will just take you through briefly on the numbers. As it is already available with you, but still, I thought I would take you through the salient features. Last year, we delivered good growth, which is 16.4%. Resulting in terms of INR, it is 214 crores is a total increase in the revenue, and the gross margin plus other income increase is amounting to 109 crores, of which 66 crores has been spent on expenses, basically on employee costs about 22 crores, other expenses about 24 crores, 46 crores is expenses increase, and the 66 crores has flown into the profit and loss account directly. So the consistency is evidenced by the CAGR we have reported, which is at 27% for a 10-year period. Even at a larger base, it is 22.5% on revenue and 21.1% on PAT, which is more than evidencing the consistent growth year-on-year the company is delivering. And the gross margins hover around 53%, which is what we committed in the last year's meeting as well. EBITDA is at healthy 33%. It is about 33%, and then PBT is also around 30%, and PAT is about 25%, which is a very good margin by industry standard. We happen to compare ourselves with comparable peers, and very, very proud to say that we are ranking number one in almost all the parameters with respect to the peers, be it revenue growth, be it ROC, which Chairman mentioned, ROE or EBITDA percentage, or PBT percentage. Okay, Vivek was modest enough to include only the regulatory costs. We also spent close to 35 crores on employee costs and R&D consumables. If that is also added, our profitability would have been more on pure commercial sense. This year, CSL has been a very impressive growth of 67% and reaching PAT level break-even has given us all very good gratification. And as he said, we have very good order books, and then the key is to deliver and then take this company forward. And in the front of cash flow and the cash and cash equivalents, Chairman has already mentioned, we are having about 1,500 crores worth of liquid assets, whereas about 150 to 160 crores is the creditors that we need to service. And 772 crores of cash, what we have today in the kitty, will take us through the entire OPEX that is planned for the current year, as well the accrual that is happening, which is planned to be around 300 crores, as our Chairman mentioned, will see us in good stead at the end of the year. And this is it from my terms of numbers, and we will be happy to take the questions. Over to Mr. Vivek.
Thank you, sir. Prashant, we can open the floor for questions right now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Girish Bakru from OrbiMed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking questions and great numbers. Just on the U.S. thing to begin with, I mean, right now, I mean, given that you have a good order book visibility, I mean, just trying to assess in the longer time frame, I mean, quarters ago, we had painted possibility of $100 million sales by CY26. So, I mean, just trying to assess if that number is still quite visible in terms of the launches. And if you could comment on these three approvals, Carboplus, Thymine, and Rocuronium. My understanding is Carboplus could be a very decent opportunity given that there are very few players.
Yeah. So the overall projection in terms of what we targeted, we continue to believe that this is possible. Of course, we are not able to give you, you know, year on year what we expect the market is going to be like, obviously, because it is still a very dynamic situation in the U.S. If you consider the approvals that we've got recently, we believe they're all very good products. I mean, each of them has different types of markets. Like you said, Carboplus probably doesn't have too much by way of competition. Even Thymine doesn't have too much by way of competition. Whereas a product like Ketorolac or Rocuronium, for that matter, has more competition, but the volumes are also larger. As a smaller company, we would like to believe that over a longer, broader portfolio, we would have a good hold on the COGS. And once we go for backward integration on a few of these products, we will have even more control on COGS as well. So we can be certainly encouraged by what we would see in the markets on these products.
Yeah. One more thing I would like to add.
Yep, sure, go ahead.
This, which you mentioned in course of my speech, that is likely to come on somewhere by October or November, where the capacity actually in terms of production will be high. That would also reduce the cost of actually goods. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Correct. And when you actually talk about these high-speed lines, higher capacity, you mean there is room to take more market share in existing products, right? Is that the correct understanding?
Actually,
yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Chairman, please. Okay. Yeah, so as we, actually the truth is, because we have a large pipeline of products that we are working on, we are constantly balancing between what would take up commercial production, what slots would be taken up for exhibit batches, etc. You know, so because we only have two lines and we have multiple approvals, this third line, vial line I'm talking about, which is basically line 5, will significantly increase our production capacity. And also, without getting too technical, there are certain kinds of products called terminally sterilized products versus other kinds of products or aseptic products. Now, the former is the one that we are going to be doing in line 5, and we will be dedicating it for terminally sterilized products which have larger volumes and quicker turnaround time as well. You know, so typically this is what we are trying to achieve with higher productivity, and by all means, I think you can say that we will be aiming for higher market share, because right now we're actually sitting on more back orders than before because of the amount of orders that we've received and also the newer approvals.
And when do you expect PSS line to commercialize?
Our first choice is to make this Bosch line ready, that we expect to happen sometime in October and November. PFS line will be in 2 months after that.
Okay, okay. Just on the non-US piece, this branded generic versus generic mix right now being 25 to 75, I mean, you were talking about this in the initial remark that West Africa launch and, you know, brand marketing in LATAM. How should we read this? Is that mix going to change significantly over, let's say, next 3 years? And what will be the margins?
Yeah, we will go step by step on this. The volumes, as I told you, that might even result in 30 to 40 crore, but the profitability will be quite high. And the advantages that we have today is in the form of bioequivalence and bioavailability, which we can do it in our own Anaris clinical lab, which has been approved by USFDA. We've already completed 8 to 10 products now. We are likely to do another 20 products also in the future. As we increase the bio studies, that will actually somehow represent the quality, and also it will create a new image for our generics in LATA. So we are sure that we'll be in a position to increase our brand marketing over a period of time. The idea is to generate a new revenue stream that will increase the cash flow and profitability.
Yes, okay, Navin, just one more if I can squeeze before I join the queue. On the audit side only, when you're mentioning, there's been no audit on the U.S. side, right, since 2019?
We are in the midst of USFDA audit. 5 days are completed, 3 more days to go.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's very helpful. I have more questions, I'll be in the queue.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Karan Dubey from Anubhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question. Just two questions for my end. First, regarding the delays in CO for projects. First, for Caplin Sterile, commercial batches were supposed to start from first quarter of FY24. Now it has been delayed to first quarter of FY24. And same for oncology, oral solid dosage was supposed to completed by December 22. Now it has also moved further. So what would be the reason for the same, first? And second, regarding the cash and cash equivalents, in the presentation it has mentioned 772 crores. But according to us, it should be 724 crores. So what mistakes are we doing? Can you please provide the breakup of cash and cash equivalents? Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to talk about the project overrun. As you know, well, this is quite common for any first generation entrepreneur. You see, we had sufficient professionals to take care of it. However, there is a delay. But that does not result in a huge cost overrun, but there is a delay in projects. Luckily, we have not been borrowing money to complete the project. Hence, there is nothing in the form of actually, you know, loss in the form of, like, you know, if you borrow money, then there is an interest cost. But of course, there is a loss in the form of opportunity. But again, we will be able to offset it once we start actually our commercials. And the second one, We went for 3-4 projects. In between, we had to buy an API project, and then the priority was shifted towards, first phase 2 in Caplin Steriles, Now also some 30-40% of the work is completed in phase 3. Then we recently bought actually API in Vizag. We are trying to actually remodel the whole thing to suit to the US FDA so that, you know, the API that we manufacture in Vizag can be used in our products that we have already registered in US FDA. So it's happening. It's a question of time. It may happen actually few months later, but that doesn't mean actually, you know, we are in trouble. There's nothing such. It happens to every businessman today. Post-COVID day, this creates a new normal in the form of actually difficult to understand the mindset of the people. There are people who are getting sick. There are people whose attitude also slightly changed. So this is part of our new normal. Of course, each and every entrepreneur has to undergo this one. That way, we haven't lost anything. As I told you, there is a delay, but there is no denial of opportunity. For your second question, can you please repeat with regard to the cash flow?
In the presentation, the cash and cash equivalent is mentioned of 772 crores. But as per balance sheet, we have calculated, it comes to 724 crores.
So now I would request our CFO to answer to your question.
Thank you, Chairman. I will just take the question. And then thanks to India, the cash and cash will take some trouble to figure out for anybody for that matter. This is scattered around 5 to 6 places. Okay, take up a support.
I'm sorry, sir, your voice is sounding muffled.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just let me repeat what I stated. India's adoption, the cash and cash equivalent is not represented in the balance sheet in one place. It is spread over 4 to 5 places depending on the whether it is current, non-current, whether it is bank balance, whether it is fixed deposit, etc., etc. I can read the breakup for 772 crores. In the interest of time, I don't want to do that. The 46 crores, what our friend has pointed out, is part of other financial assets, intercorporate deposits. We also, about a couple of years back, we had large mutual funds. Post Franklin Templeton fiasco, we withdrew everything from mutual funds. We are not into mutual funds at all. We invest our funds in scheduled bank securities, affiliated company deposits, and intercorporate bonds, actually. So 46 crores, I think our friend has missed out, is sitting in 71 crores, other financial assets.
Okay.
Yeah, that will add up to 22 crores.
Okay. And one more question, sir, from mine. So in other expenses has been dropped to 52 crores this quarter from 62 crores last quarter, 64 crores last quarter. So yeah. What is the reason for dropping other expenses?
Primarily last quarter we paid a huge facility fees of 7.5 crores in CSL, which is paid in October, annual fees. Okay, so which is not repeated this time. So that's the main reason for that.
Okay, understood. Thank you. That's it from end.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chirag Fialo from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations to the chairman sir for the continued execution. I have a couple of questions just on the Central America and the LATAM business. Firstly, could you share what the gross margin of that business right now must be running at, even if it's an approximate number for the year or for the quarter?
I will leave this actually to our CFO to answer, please.
Yeah, it is there around 54.5 to 55%. That is the average what we get.
Understood. And for steriles, what would be this quarter's EBITDA number, sir, if you can just share that as a bookkeeping
number? EBITDA number for the quarter?
Yes.
Okay. This is 135.33 crores.
Sorry, sir. I couldn't hear that. Could you repeat that, please?
135.33 crores.
This is the EBITDA number for steriles.
No, no. Are you talking about Sarais or the company? When we talk, we talk about Caplin as a group.
No, sir. Sarais.
Sarais EBITDA number, just give us a minute. I'll just...
You want the Sarais EBITDA for the quarter four?
Yes.
It is around 8.5 crores.
Understood. So this year, that means we would have probably made close to around 33-34 crores of EBITDA in Sarais, right, for the overall year. Is that right?
Sarais EBITDA is around 20.3 crores.
Understood. Yes, got it. Right, and just back to the question that I had for Vivek and Chairman sir, you outlined a large number of initiatives that might come on board in 24, things that you have been working on in the past and which will fruits in 24. Could you just talk about the Latin America business a little bit more, sir? And going back to your opening remarks, if you can just detail out a couple of more initiatives that you are taking there. Obviously, growth has been sluggish in that part of the business for the last couple of quarters. But how do you see going forward? And particularly, is there any geography that is under stress because of any macroeconomic or macro indicators? That will be my last question. Thank you.
Yeah. To put it in a nutshell, if you look at actually in the form of a holistic approach, overall actually the cash flows and profits and everything, I think we are very, very comfortable. As you rightly said, in some geographies, there is a slight actually decrease or increase that happens because of the focus. Sometimes what will happen, even the disease profiles and the profitability sometimes, from the private market or the government market are little actually competition, extra competition. These are things which would create actually certain amount of decrease in profitability and sales. However, we are not only getting into generic business, we are also getting into the various areas of brand marketing. And to create a niche to our brand marketing, as I told you before, we are adding our bioequivalence and bioavailability, which normally only the big companies do it in the smaller geographies, especially the multinationals, because the Indian companies, big companies, they are not interested in smaller geographies. They always go bigger geographies such as Mexico, or Brazil, or Argentina, or Colombia, that kind of stuff. So this particular market where we are today, we will continue to grow. But only thing, post-COVID, our focus has been actually on the U.S. market. It's not only the market, but also the facility. And as you know, well, last 4 years, there was no inspection. So we were all focusing actually on the U.S. FDA inspection, which is happening now. So going forward, maybe one to two months from now, we will get into the market. We will also increase actually the sales and profitability. Yes, please. Is there anything you want me to convey, please?
No, this is very helpful, sir. And if I'm not wrong,
please go ahead.
Sorry, in your opening remarks, if I'm not wrong, what you said is that the soft gel line is. Will help us gain around 80 to 90 crores this financial year, another 30 to 40 crores on the brand marketing initiative that we have taken in the LATAM geography. Is that broadly right?
This is a broad guidelines, and we will definitely be able to do it actually in the current year. We will be able to increase the sales.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you so much. One last question from my side, sir. On the core business outside of Sterile, if I just look at the core outside of Sterile business, what would you think is a sustainable EBITDA margin for that part of the business?
Our core business as of today, as you know well, is LATAM business. See, today, generics, whether it is US or other markets, as I told you before, it is not actually the technology are other things which really matter, except in some unique areas of maybe a biological product or biosimilar. And most of the products, whether it's in US or in any other regulated market, the competitors are there, and the world is moving towards monopolies. The only way which we can create actually a substantial differentiation is to create a value monopoly. And we look at it this way. There are only two things that are permanent in the world. One is change and the other one is poverty. As long as you cater to the bottom of the pyramid by removing the intermediaries, and the bottom of the pyramid business itself will become a creamy layer, and that is what actually has helped the company to where it is today. So we will continue to do the same business. We'll try and do the same thing in the regulated markets, ROs in the bigger geographies. Only difference is takes time. It's not like actually the ROW market where the registration gets completed in 6 months. They don't insist for BEVA studies. They don't, in fact, actually, you know, expect the kind of dossiers and the regulatory hurdles that we have in the bigger geographies is not there. However, we will continue to grow in that domain, and we will also go for something long-term in the regulated markets where the big boys are ruling currently.
Understood, sir. Any views on the margin front, EBITDA margin, for the core business? Is there any view there that you might have?
So far, we don't have any issue in the form of margins, and there may be a small challenges in the top line. Top line challenges is bound to happen, maybe for 2-3 years, but our cash flow and the profitability will continue to remain. As I told you in course of my talking, last year and last before, we in fact, the what I mentioned in the form of accrual to cash balance, in the form of 300 years every last 2 years, has been happening, and it will continue to happen. That means, most important, as you understand, I hope you'll understand with me, is your bottom line and cash flow. Top line is vanity, bottom line is sanity, cash is king. I hope you would agree with me.
Right. This is very helpful. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So just taking up from where the previous participant was asking, the LATAM growth has been one of the lowest in the last couple of years, and I understand that because we were prioritizing on growth in the U.S. market. And the things that you've highlighted will still lead to a low teens kind of growth. Is that the kind of aspiration that we have, at least for the next year?
Yeah. You mean to say that our growth in LATAM actually is decreasing. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. I look at it this way: if the growth is decreasing, you would not have this kind of a cash flow and profit. That's the reason I said we are not focusing on the top line. We are focusing on the cash flow and profits. We will continue to have the cash flow and profits. If you ask us actually about the top line is not very important, because when I think of top line, then, you know, we'll push our people to sell in credit, which we don't want.
Fair. Understood. So,
Can you convey my message to you, ma'am?
Yes, 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 I understand. Okay. And last couple of quarters, we were talking of entering into bigger markets, looking at some tenders in Brazil, Mexico. Any update on that, on the entry of these markets? Will they, have they contributed in the current year, or will they be significant in the next year?
Yeah. You mean to say that actually the individual breakup of actually the countries or something?
Yes, because we were talking of entering Brazil and Mexico, and I didn't.
Yeah. Mexico, see, the model that we will be adopting in Mexico definitely is going to be very unique. But again, Mexico is a market where the registrations and other things, it takes long time. And now we are in the process of registering our injectables there, and we will also get into OSD and other products shortly. Once we get a basket of actually current 50, 60 products with the different buckets in the form of tablets, capsule and injectables, probably we'll start our business. We are doing actually a bit small business, not a big business. The consistency will start, say, 1-2 years from now in a big way. Maybe 2 years from now, that would be the right timelines.
And Brazil?
Sorry?
Brazil?
No, I couldn't hear properly.
I think she's asking about Brazil.
Brazil, no. Like Brazil, no, we are still in the registration stage. Here, the arrangement is totally different. It's not like something, you know, which we do in Central America in the form of our own. We have a partner who is registering the products. Again, it will take actually, as I told you, like, you know, Mexico, it will be still more, maybe definitely not less than 2 years.
Okay, so both of these markets will only significantly contribute 2 years hence.
Yeah, we'll still actually, you know, do well. And as I told you, what is important is the cash flow and profits. We'll continue to have that. And the top line, the real top line with good cash flows, probably, you know, the kind of things that we expect will happen maybe in 2 years from now.
Understood. Sure. And the tax rate for the current year was 16%, slightly lower than what we were earlier. What is the reason for the lower tax rate and what is the kind of tax rate we can expect for next year?
I would request our CFO to answer to these questions, please. Hello?
Yes, sir, I'll take that question.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. The tax rate, madam, is net tax rate is what we are referring to, which has two components. Its gross tax is about 18.2%. Okay, the coming down because of deferred tax asset which we are created in Kaplan Surrey. Okay, that is reducing the total tax liability by 7.383 crores, resulting in 74.36 crores as a net tax pay. Okay, tax liability. So 16.48, last year if you see it is about 20%. We will be around 20% if sustainable level is what we feel is correct. Because now that Sarayas has started breaking even, and we think that we'll be able to sustain around 20% as an effective tax rate.
Understood. And for the current year, excluding other income, our EBITDA margin was around 30%. Is now with Sarayas also breaking even at tax level and it has gained significant amount of momentum, can we expect EBITDA margins to start improving and crossing the 30% threshold sustainably?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Great. Thank you so much, Investor Plus.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations for a good set of numbers, sir. My question is on ROC side. So our ROC is getting depleted over the years, and part of the reason is our unutilized cash balances. I did a little bit calculations around this and found that if we exclude the high cash balances from capital employed and its corresponding interest from EBIT, then ROC comes out to be more than 40%, which is obviously because these significant balances are getting invested in lower return generating instruments, which is not good for shareholders. So why are we not considering rewarding shareholders in terms of buybacks or higher dividends? I understand we have a good line of good capex line there. But still the kind of cash flows you are talking about and we are generating also on year-on-year basis, it can take care of the upcoming capex, I think. So that is my first question.
Here, what is important actually is building a... See, you know our business model has been asset-light. Now that we are building the assets-heavy model, and we would prefer actually to build a vertically integrated business model, which is something similar to all the big companies that are into. So at this juncture, we would prefer to invest more and more cash in the project so that what happens, you know, any customer who comes to our place will be in a position to understand that they will be in a position to get all kinds of products under one roof. So maybe in future, your suggestions, of course, we'll discuss with the board and we'll take a decision.
Okay, sir. And sir, on LATAM part, you are saying growth obviously is not there and will come after 2 years. So how you will manage the profitability from here going ahead in that particular part of core business, sir?
I didn't say LATAM as a whole. She was asking about Mexico. We will continue to have, you know, if you look at what, if you remember what I told in course of my speeches, we are increasing our business through Softgel and also through brand marketing, where the profitability will be good. And we will continue to increase our cash flow and profit. Whatever profits which we make, which we are making now, also the cash flow that we are, which is happening now, it will continue to happen. Growth in the sense, growth in credit sales is not a real growth. We will definitely have a growth. If you look at the holistic way, we are growing compared to some of our peers or most of our peers of our size.
And sir, overall basis, what will be your guidance for FY24 in the terms of top line and bottom line?
Yeah, we'll continue to grow the way we have been growing. And I would prefer to give actually a good at numbers, maybe starting from 25-26, because that's the time you will have actually a lot of products registered in the regulated markets too. So we'll do well. That's how actually it's better to under-promise and overachieve rather than giving you some numbers.
And so you mentioned overall sustainable EBITDA margin 30%, and simultaneously we are saying US is at EBITDA margin of 10%. So how is it going to be in next couple of years, like US EBITDA margin shaping up from this level to whatever your target level for US?
That's why I request you to look at it in the holistic way, because any business that you do in the initial stages, especially if it is a business in the form of sterile to US market, the sustainability without borrowing money, that itself actually, I sincerely hope you would accept with me, is actually a good business model. We have never borrowed anything. We have been completing new projects. We still, you know, file more and more ANDAs. The parent company has been helping the sister concern, the subsidiary. And don't you feel that actually it's a good business model? Otherwise, we would not have been, would have been a debt trap by now.
Yeah, in addition to that, note that, as I said during the course of my speech, we are not capitalizing any of our R&D spend or our ANDA filing spend or regulatory fees, nothing, right? So all of it is expensed out and it's a direct hit to our bottom line. As the CFO was saying, if you took out the R&D spend of 30 plus crore and the filing fee of 20 plus crore, you're looking at another 50 crore that could have potentially been added to the EBITDA, which we don't do because we want to be fully conservative, and R&D is very much part of part and parcel of the US side, part and parcel of the you know, LATAM side as well. So I think going forward, obviously there will be an increase in EBITDA as we as the revenue grows and the filings catch up with our revenues as well. But at this point, I think we should be appreciative of the fact that we have a high R&D and a filing spend at this point.
I also would like to add one more thing here. If you look at companies of our size, most of the companies would be CMOs, contract manufacturing facilities, where they will not have their own ANDAs. Today, we have around 17 ANDAs in our name. 8 are in the pipeline. Another 8 to 9 products are going to be filed actually in the next 6 months to 9 months. So these, all these products have a cost, right from R&D to filing fees and good for fees. So if you take this out, probably ours will be one of the profit-making companies. I'm talking of the Caplin Steriles. So all that in the form of actually happening, the these are all investment. I won't consider it as an expense. One day, maybe 2 years from now, we will do extremely well. Although the prices are crashing in some of the regulated markets, with a new and differentiated approach to business model and the number of ANDAs which are coming actually, you know, over a period of time, we will do well actually, that is for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We request you to come back in the queue for follow-up questions. We have our next question from the line of Girish Bakru from Orbimed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, just catching on this point on the pipeline front, when you said that you will have decent product, probably pipeline created for growth in 25-26, would that be like, I'm just thinking from that acceptability point of view, is there like a mathematical model you're running that certain products do take a higher load in terms of growth after this low base is done, or will there be some big products, you know, which could take off in that?
Yeah,
Vivek, go ahead.
Yeah. So I would, Girish, at this point, you know, if there is anything that I've learned from my little stint in the US market so far, is that we cannot be dependent on products. Right, so you need to be dependent on a good business model, a unique business model, and also identifying something that is differentiated from what everybody else is doing. Because whatever products that you are doing, you can rest assured that 5 or 6 others are going to be doing the same product. Right, there is no first to file concept, there is no exclusivity or anything like that, unless you're targeting only NCE kind of molecules. So while we are developing a very broad portfolio of good products, we need to make sure that our business model is a little bit differentiated compared to the rest, you know. So we have not changed our portfolio. In fact, we make minor additions, deletions here and there, but whatever that we started with 5 years ago, 90-95% of that portfolio still remains the same. So I would say that, you know, if you take our track record into account with what we have done, there are some products where there are 16 players on the market, but we are occupying 14-15% market share. You know, so I don't think we are specifically looking at one particular product or five particular products to really take this company to the next horizon or anything like that. We are trying to target something from the other side, which is being completely the integrated back to front, having a very high level of compliance, making sure that continuity of supply is ensured. So we want to play the patient game. We want to be one of the last ones standing rather than going after one particular product that will change the dimension or anything like that, you know, because those days, in my opinion, are gone.
Yeah, and there is no need of strong, like, risk management here, right? Because, I mean, I'm assuming at this stage, you would assume most of the products will get approved easily in one go or maybe in the next go. Or do you think that because this space, we have seen typically many companies struggle, even if it's small or large, sterile space is not a very easy space to operate in the U.S. So what is the confidence that most of these products will come through and we have a basket of, let's say, 40, 50 products in 3 years?
Of course. I mean, the thing is, touch wood, we have filed by ourselves around 25 products, and we have filed another five with partners. We have not even received one refusal so far. We have not had any product that has taken more than 18 months to get approved, right? So we have an excellent track record for a company that is very new in this space. So we are very much confident that not even one of our products are going to get rejected or anything like that, you know. So we remain very confident with our R&D capabilities and stuff. What is more important for us is to make sure that we have a good business model differentiation similar to what we've done in LATAM. For that, we need to continue traveling there and to identify those niches, identify those pockets, because as Chairman was saying, change and poverty are two things that are prevalent in every country in the world today. And catering to the bottom of the pyramid is a pattern that has worked for us in the past. We need to try and see how we can replicate this in the newer markets that we are entering into.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rusmik Oza from 9 Rays Equi Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on R&D front. If I'm referring to slide number 15. You know, between 17 to 20, we had a big jump in R&D spend from 30, 34 crore to almost 71, 85 crores. Thereafter, for the last 3 years, between FY21 to 23, static at around between 60 to 66 crores. And similarly, the number of team members have also, you know, gone down from 362 in FY20 to around 331. And if I relate similar numbers as a percentage of revenue, you know, R&D expense used to be around 10% between FY19-20. It's come down to 4.5%, even though the revenue is almost doubled from that space of 19-20. So I just want to understand your thought process going forward. What kind of, you know, emphasis in terms of amount, in terms of percentage of revenue is going to go in for R&D, because that's going to determine your future product pipeline. That's it from my side, sir.
Okay. Anyway, that, of course, no, proper, actually, a brief reply I would like to give on this one. R&D, yes, R&D matters. But again, as I told you before, it's not an R&D for a biosimilar or a biological product. So the most important, I sincerely feel, is the model. As you know well, you must have also read actually what I have read in the papers. When Warren Buffett says about Charlie Munger, he is my mentor because of his model, she says. So at the end of the day, whether you are a small company or a bigger investor like Warren Buffett, the models that really matters, whether you are an investor or a manufacturer. So coming to R&D and the other logics which you mentioned, I would ask one of either the COO or CFO to answer to your question.
Thank you, Chairman. If we can take partly, the R&D expense consists of two parts. One is OPEX, the other one is CAPEX. As we have been telling in the initial years also, as Mr. VK repeatedly told,
CapEx in the initial period was high, so it was representing in terms of quantum as well as possible sales. Now that the most of the CapEx has already been incurred, what is remaining is the OpEx. There is no depth of funds allocation to OpEx, and then it is being sustained. I would request Vivek to supplement.
Yeah, so as a percentage of revenue, I think we do not want to broad base it against our revenue or anything like that, but our R&D spend will continue to remain in a similar kind of a space going forward as well in terms of absolute numbers. Like CFO was saying, we had an initial high spend when it came to CapEx and stuff. Now, most of these equipment and all that will be good to go for the next 5-6 years also. Now, we might at some point reduce the number of projects that we are working on and increase the complexity of some of these projects. But in terms of absolute numbers, I don't see the R&D moving up significantly or anything like that, because quite a lot of that is already a work in progress or has already been completed. For example, if you take our API R&D, before actually having a factory in place, we've already completed 60-65 products development over the last 3 years. You know, so this has been, as a company that was actually smaller in size, we've been embracing our R&D strength for quite some time now. Now it's important to put that into the factory, scale that up and make sure that that API or formulation gets approved.
Thanks. So my second question was on CapEx. Can you give us some broad guideline? What will be the CapEx amount we plan to spend in FY24 this year and next year FY25?
Yeah, we would request CFO to just take this call, please.
Yeah, what is visible as of today is the ongoing CSL project phase 2 and phase 3, which will consume anywhere between 150 and 170 crores. The ARMCO project will consume another 50-60 crores. And as Chairman was mentioning, another OFC plant, Greenfield plant, is slated to be initiated this year. The total outlay is about 150-160 crores. I am not sure how much of that will get consumed during this year. Between 24 and 25, anything between 350 and 360 crores is the capex on paper today.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks. That was quite. That was very nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. My question is also on CapEx. This 350 crores is only for FY24 or split over the next 2 years?
As you mentioned, madam, the one project is yet to be commissioned. So that's where the 150 crores. So between this 2 year and then H1 of 25, it will be 350-360 crores. It could be, if it is expedited, it could get consumed. Our endeavor is to do as fast as possible. But this is one, what is firmed up is this. And in the meantime, if something new comes up, it will get added.
Okay, got it. That was all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, this was the last question for today. I now hand over the call to Prashant Nair for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Yashasvi. And once again, thanks to the Capital Point management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. And thanks to all the participants for dialing in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.